Going to the update now, update 1084. You have an editorial in there by Dave Harris titled Other People's Problems. Other People's Problems. I would strongly encourage you to read this editorial. I just want to read the conclusion. It's the very last paragraph, actually the last sentence, where he says, let us make it a point to do what we can when the opportunity and the need arises to serve, remembering that we too can fall into that category of being the other person with a problem. And of course, so he is encouraging strongly the togetherness, the working together when the opportunity arises. By the way, I also, just before I forget, I also did the recording for the German trumpet sermon, which is going to be shown next week, because believe it or not, next week, next Saturday, next Sabbath is trumpets already. And then a few days later, it's atonement. And then a few days later, it's the beginning of the feast. So trumpets will be the last time, because I will give the sermon here as well, the last time I'm going to speak to you before I go to Germany. So therefore, I speak a little bit longer today. The current events address quite a few interesting subjects. It talks about the totalitarian EU state, the European state, which is developing, whether people see that or not. But we also talk about Chancellor Scholz, Olaf Scholz, telling, the way it's being described, economic fairy tales. Now, of course, the same is true for our president here in the United States. He is telling all kinds of economic fairy tales, and not just economic fairy tales. And we have an article on that one as well. But so he is talking about economic fairy tales, and nobody's taking him seriously anymore, because they all know it's a fairy tale. They all know that what he's saying isn't true. But there is one politician in Germany who is extremely popular now, by far, the most popular politician. And that is Boris Pistorius, who is Germany's Federal Minister of Defense. The article we are publishing here by a German magazine, Focus, is asking the question, however, is he carrying out what he is saying? Is he just talking the talk, or is he walking the walk? Now, what the article also points out is more and more mandatory military service is being mentioned in the context. And of course, if Pistorius carries out what he wants to carry out, that's a given. Now, we have been warning against that for quite a while, but it looks like that's where it's heading. We also have an article about France at the brink of civil war. Now, we had just a standing watch program about the fact that it appears that America is going to end up in civil war, perhaps sooner than later. But America is not the only place. Apparently, France is at the brink of civil war, and the article makes good sense when it comes to that, and it looks like France is another powder keg ready to explode over there. And it's not just only France when it comes to Europe. An article which should all make us very, very concerned, it's by Bloomberg, pointing out the fact that now Britain is thinking of, again, allowing Americans to place nuclear bombs on British soil. But then the article says, around 150 US B-61 nuclear gravity bombs are currently stationed in 4 European countries already. And guess what they are? Belgium, the Netherlands, Italy, and Germany, in addition to Turkey. And unless these bombs will be taken off by the Americans pretty soon, if they are staying there, and if America is even trying to put more bombs over there on European soil, then we know from the Bible that ultimately these nuclear weapons will be used by the Europeans against the United States. And that should wake everybody up. There's another article in there by Atlantic asking the question whether NATO will collapse by 2025. Now, the reason why it's 2025 is after the American election, and the concept is that more and more Americans, especially Republicans, are against supporting Ukraine militarily. And the article points out that if that is going to happen, Europe could not possibly make up for the loss of aid, and that would mean not only will NATO collapse, I believe personally that's already a given that that's going to happen, but also the war between Ukraine and Russia will end because Ukraine cannot defend itself against Russia any longer if they don't have the support by America. Europe alone cannot provide that support. And then it will happen what we have been saying all along. Ukraine and Russia will unite in one way or another, collaborate, and ultimately fight against Europe. Now, I listened to a rally by Donald Trump the other night, and he made the point very clear. He said, "I am going to be elected the next president. I will have the war between Russia and Ukraine end within 24 hours. He has been saying that. It's never quite explained as to why and how he's going to make that happen. Now, there's all kinds of speculations. But one thing is clear. Ukraine is not going to win. That's for sure. When Trump comes to power, if he comes to power." He also said, "I'm the only candidate who can prevent World War III. Now, that's up to debate, and I'm not going to go into that. But there's a lot of hysteria, I should say, about COVID and the fear that because of the new emergence of the coronavirus, or a different kind maybe, that there's going to be, again, lots of restrictions, governmental restrictions, already talking about wearing masks, lockdowns, social distance. And then there's a movement which has now started. It's called We Will Not Comply movement. And this gains a lot of support, and those who are running this movement have started it, are saying no matter what is going to be mandated upon us, we will not comply. Now, as I said earlier, talk is cheap. The question is, will talk will be followed by action? Our most recent member letter goes into the issue of what is going to happen if there's going to be another lockdown, if there's going to be another system of governmental restrictions, even those who have been declared unconstitutional by courts in the past. Will people really not comply, or what's going to happen? So if you haven't read the member letter, read it, and if you have read it again, because I'm pretty confident that this is what's being described in this member letter. Sadly, it's going to happen. We have a lot to say about Donald Trump and his future when it comes to the indictments and whether he's going to go to prison or not, and what the outcome of all of that will perhaps be. But we also talk about the Proud Boys, and the leader, allegedly, or the former leader, who has been sentenced now for 22 years in prison. And he wasn't even there on January 6th. He wasn't even there. But they said, oh, but he was a mastermind behind it. Now, I found a very interesting article this morning, or was it last night, by the Future of Freedom Foundation. I'd like to just read that to you. This week, a federal judge in Washington, D.C., in Washington, D.C., sentenced Enrique Tarrio, the former leader of the Proud Boys, to 22 years in jail for the crime of sedition arising out of the January 6 protests at the Capitol. It wasn't the first time that the judge, Timothy Kelly, meted out a high jail sentence for the sedition offense. Last week, he handed out an 18-year sentence to Ethan Nordin, one of Tarrio's co-defendants. Last May, another D.C. federal judge, Armit P. Mehta, sentenced leader of the Oath Keepers militia, Stuart Rhodes, to 18 years for the federal crime of sedition. Those higher jail sentences are so ridiculous. The federal crime of sedition is akin to the local crime of disorderly conduct. It is designed to give federal authorities the ability to severely punish people who have committed no real crime to justify severe punishment. How did Kelly, the judge, arrive at 22 years for Tarillo when the law expressly limits sentences to 20 years? He used some sort of enhancement provision relating to terrorism law, even though Tarillo was convicted of sedition and not of terrorism. The notion that the January 6 protests were an attempt to overthrow the US government is laughable to the extreme. After all, everyone knows about AR-15s and other assault rifles. Everyone also knows about regular mass killings in the United States. If people are going to attempt a violent overthrow for the federal government, they are going to go into the Capitol with AR-15s or other assault weapons. They are immediately going to start shooting and killing people and taking hostages. They are not going to settle for smashing a few doors and windows, forcing their way past security police, or damaging some desks. In fact, it is ironic that the only person who was killed on January 6 was an unarmed protester. That was Ashley Babbitt, who was shot dead by a Capitol policeman who got scared during the process. Notwithstanding the fact that he shot an unarmed woman in cold blood, that cop got away scot-free, unlike Tarillo and Nordine, who didn't kill anyone. There is no doubt that on January 6, people were filled with passionate emotions. There is also no doubt that given the heightened emotions, such protests oftentimes get out of hand. That certainly is what happened in the January 6 protests. But to jump from that to the notion that the protesters were attempting to overthrow the US government is so patently ridiculous that it defies credulity. It's one thing to charge January 6 protesters who got out of control with such crimes as trespass, assault, or destruction of government property. It's quite another thing to punish them for sedition. To me, very well put, Arik. It's very similar to what's happening in Germany, where they arrested some old, retired people who also had no weapons, and they said, oh, they were in the process of overthrowing the German government. The same ridiculous nonsense. Okay, going back to the update as we have it, we are talking about the fact that now some Republicans are threatening that they're not going to fund the government by the end of the month if certain conditions aren't met, one of which is impeaching Biden, Joe Biden, at least starting an impeachment inquiry. And we have several articles on that, also pressure on McCarthy, who is apparently at this point still not willing to do anything. And of course, there may be all kinds of reasons. The article points out they're all cowards, the Republicans are. Now, there might be another reason. The other reason might be if they were to impeach Biden, and if they were successful, and Biden would have to vacate the office, Kamala Harris would take over. She already said, she was asked in an interview, and she said, oh yeah, I'm prepared to be the President of the United States. Now, I leave that to you to figure that one out. I've read several articles in New York Post, other places, where they said, oh, help God, that's not going to happen. She is perceived to be one of the most incompetent politicians around. And anyway, so that's where maybe a reason could be seen why they really don't want to go forward with an impeachment procedure against Biden. Okay, we have the articles on Canada, a laughing stock, and the decline and fall of Canada, and that's our new Standing Watch program, which is summarized the following way. Many Canadians feel that under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Canada has become a laughingstock of the world and that the right to free speech has been severely limited. They feel that the country is indeed in the process of declining and falling. Is there any hope for change? And of course, at the end of the program, I explain a little bit as to why it looks pretty grim for Canada as well. Not just for the United States or for Great Britain. Now, I didn't know anything about the Burning Man Festival until recently. I kind of read about it a little bit and didn't know what to really think about it. And then, of course, some have made some very strong statements about the deluge which took place at that last festival, saying this was divine retribution. And I thought, well, you know, I may want to go into that and look into that a little bit. And so I did, and so this update has an article on the Burning Man Festival, several articles, and then gives also a history as to what this is all about. And I have to say how anybody in his right mind can participate in such a festival, I just do not understand. But anyway, you read for that yourself. Another article talks about the fact that the majority of Church of England priests support premarital sex now and gay marriage. Majority of the Church of England priests, over which the King of England is ahead. And the final article talks about children change their gender. Children change their gender. I mean, an absolute atrocity, a damnable situation. And the articles which we quote here point out the possibility that many doctors are promoting it because they make a lot of money from those operations. The Q&A was written by Richard Harris. Richard Harris, great. That's a famous actor. Dave Harris, that's good too, good name. Dave Harris. So he not only wrote the editorial, but he also wrote the Q&A, and he will be writing next week, I'm sure he knows that, the member letter, because we still get that one out before we all leave. But this one is written by him with the title, "Your Report on Political Matters, Is That Really Biblical?" Now, there are different definitions for the word political. And he points out that it has to do with relating to government. And in that regard, yes, Jesus Christ brought a political message. We are proclaiming a political message. It's all about government, the government of God. And he goes into that in great detail. And then at the end, of course, he also points out there are other definitions for political, two more. And that is something we as true Christians are not engaged in at all, shouldn't be. No true Christian should be. Now, some have forgotten that and are getting involved in all kinds of things they shouldn't get involved with. But so anyhow, this is a Q&A. Make sure you read it. It's very helpful to, again, put everything in perspective.